La Fuente Dulce. I have built a grand, passionate fountain in my Zocalo heart, where black-braided women rendezvous with blue and white mockingbirds. Leaves ruffle in a tropical breeze, Los Olanas de una falda, amid the twitter of romance and song. I laid the tile for you in pieces con cuidado, a mano, pressed the gritty, soft grout around a colorful glass mosaic, mirror of sky and sea, the green flora of Guatemalan hillsides, rose-colored clouds de una tierra antigua, purple smoke from a rumbling volcano in the dark brown of everyone's eyes. I rise with the scent of you, O sweet one, from the center, naked in the sparkling play of a fountain I have built for you.
From the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, Pacifica Radio, welcome to Poets Cafe. Our guest, Mary Torregrosa's poetry appears in Bearing the Mask, Southwestern Persona Poems, in Wide Awake, Poets of Los Angeles and Beyond, and forthcoming in Voices from Lemaire Park Redux, an anthology of observers and keepers of culture from the world stage in Los Angeles. Individual poems are part of the Poems of Arrival project, an art installation by Shinpei Takeda at the New Americans Museum in San Diego and in Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera's Poems for Unity project, as well as Lament for the Dead, a project honoring victims of gun violence. Mary is a winner of the Arroyo Arts Collective Poetry in the Windows community event and named Newer Poet of Los Angeles by Suzanne Lummis and the Los Angeles Poetry Festival. She's also the author of My Zocalo Heart by Finishing Line Press, which we'll be hearing from today. Welcome, Mary.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lois.
Oh, it's great to have you here. That poem is from your book. It's your first collection, right?
Right. It's my first chapbook that's been published by a national publisher.
Yeah, Finishing Line.
Because, you know, people are doing a lot of self-publishing.
Yes.
And I love that stuff. So I've done a couple of small books on my own.
Right.
Just to, you know, have the opportunity of doing that.
Well, Mark Twain did. Why not you? Right? Yes. And Finishing Line Press is great. And they support women quite a lot, too.
Yes, that's right. This manuscript was sent to them for their Women's Voices contest.
Oh, okay.
And then they would select people who contributed to that. And so they asked me to publish with them,
great,
having seen the manuscript through the contest.
Oh, fantastic. This first poem that you read, which is sort of the heart of the book in its way, it mentions the Zocalo. It feels sort of like a poem to a lover, but it's also has a sense of a community. How would you define the Zocalo in like a generic sense and within the meaning of your title?
Well, the poem references Guatemala, which is where my husband is from.
Right.
And we have visited, and his sisters would go down to the town square and visit with their friends. And so the Zocalo, from the Italian point of view, in Spain, is a large square where lots of people will gather. And other places, it might be a smaller common area, and a fountain is part of that. So it's just a place after hours or during the day to stroll and then later to meet people. And my work as an ESL teacher, I often feel like my classroom is like that. People have come from all countries. How was it that we all ended up in the same place?
Yeah.
Sort of see my classroom as the Zocalo.
Excellent. And it reminds me a little bit of like a jardín. I suppose they're different, I don't know, infrastructures, but when I go to Mexico, for example, the jardín is kind of the hub, the center of where everybody goes and hangs out and music and children and all of that stuff. So I'm curious now what the difference is between a Zocalo and a jardín.
The Zocalo is much bigger.
Okay.
Like in Italy, when you see them, they're large and they're all made of stone. The whole, all of Italy is all stone. And so
you've been
lots
to Italy?
Of fountains. I haven't.
Okay.
Many
you need to go.
Members of my family have. But my first destination was Guatemala because I wanted to meet my husband's family.
Sure.
So we make our priorities and our choices there.
So now you're coming up on 30 years of marriage.
Yes.
You have an excuse
right.
to go to Italy.
That's right. That's a great idea. Thanks.
I wanted to also comment because Toadie O'Brien, who we both know, she's a wonderful artist and writer and poet in her own right, and she wrote a beautiful review of your book. And she says a Zocalo also corresponds to the Greek agora, where democracy came from a long time ago. And I hadn't really made the political connection, but of course you're very much an activist as a human being and as a teacher
right.
and as a poet. So that's an important element too, I think.
My activism started very early. In high school, in the 70s, it was a time of a lot of conflict between blacks and whites. And it was in high school that I was part of a committee on what we would call diversity, race relations.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I knew that I didn't have enough of the vocabulary to really figure it all out or be part of it in a way that could make a difference.
Yeah.
And so I've dedicated most of my life to anti-racism, and then through my job and my family connections, immigration.
Yes. And that leads me to a beautiful poem that you've written. I know you've dinged me before on gushing on the air, but I have to gush a little bit because I do love your poetry so much. So this poem, Desert Crossing, would you share that with us?
Yes. Desert Crossing, a witness narrative from the U.S.-Mexico border. The story is told by her husband, so young himself, barely a man, how he must have loved her. The girl with the shell necklace. They walked and walked together. They cried their love for each other. He cried his tears into her mouth. When she faltered, he held her. He pushed her and dragged her and carried her under the fires of stars in the night. They prayed their love together, delirious. A real girl with black wavy hair, her mother braided the day they left a promise to take care of each other in her wide and happy smile. He sobs and sobs as the camera rolls, clutching the image of his one true love, the girl with the white shell necklace.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Poets Cafe. This is host Lois P. Jones, and we're with our guest, Mary Tora Grosso. She's reading from her wonderful collection, My Zocalo Heart, out on Finishing Line Press. And that's such a powerful poem. Your epigraph says a witness narrative from the U.S.-Mexico border. And, of course, our attention is really drawn to that now for many reasons. And I was thinking about, I think his name is Warren. He was a teacher who actually got arrested for helping people coming into the country by leaving food and leaving water for them and leaving clothes for them. And, of course, there's this more recent issue of the children. What the hell? Where are they? You know, what's happening?
Well, part of that is, this poem was from a film that I was part of a group that showed the film and then raised money. And my daughter, Nina, she went to the border as part of a transformational journey.
Mm.
And she came back and I recorded in poetry some of her stories and her experiences there. The shell necklace, I asked for shells from a lot of people I knew, put the word out. I got hundreds of them. My husband and I and my daughters put them together as necklaces. And we took the poem and the necklaces, and we went to art shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to sell them for just $3. And everything that we collected, we sent to the border where Nina had volunteered some of her time. So there are people all in Los Angeles who have a white shell necklace in honor of the girl in the story.
Yes. And as you said, that was really transformational for her,
mm-hmm,
right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. When she came back, she just was talking nonstop about the experience. And so I just began writing. Every time she started talking, I'd be writing about what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other poems about her experience. And this one was so vivid with that, the shell necklace and the picture of the girl.
Yes.
And so she was one of them who did not make it across. So.
Yes.
But hers is one story of many.
Right. And continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're making the borders tighter, it's also more dangerous because some of these other areas where people are going into, it's harder.
Yes, they're being forced into more rugged terrain.
Exactly.
But I think really that where are the children? Well, they shouldn't be separated from their parents in the first place.
Yes.
So keeping families united, making people welcome and checking their stories but not sending them to detention centers all over the place.
Of course.
Some of the children are separated by great distances. Their parents are in one detention center and they're in another, and they're unable to communicate back and forth with their own children.
And so, how long can you keep a child in a detention center anyway? I mean, that's just horrific.
Right. Dealing with the reality.
Right.
And trying to get information. There are a lot of lawyers working on this and insisting that there be more transparency. And
mm-hmm.
So
right.
We just always keep on keeping on.
Yeah. It's been somewhat conflated, these stories. It's hard to know exactly what the sequence of events are. I don't want to detour your wonderful interview.
Yes.
With you. I'm going to take you back to Nixtamal.
Nixtamal. She snaps a kitchen towel at the brood of hens and chicks that strut near the table in the yard. Having cleaned the maize of pebbles and bits of stalk, she rattles grit-addled flint in a sieve. She kneels by a heavy stone metate, grinding field corn into tiny bees. Her hands pound and roll the kernels with a long black mano. Intent as watching rainfall, she guides the pestle spark against the grain. A golden powder rises up like a dust plume after un temblor, clings to the soft hairs on her arms. She sweeps the cornmeal with a stiff straw brush, piles it high into a blue enamel dish. Her daughter's small complaint from yesterday, her husband's firm, determined plans, para mañana, winnow like wheat from the chaff. A yellow sun shines in her bowl.
I love the details of this. It's just a gorgeous poem. And it takes me to, I had a boyfriend at one point, and we'd go to El Sosal, and watching the ladies, you know, making this it must be the Nixtamal, mm-hmm. and making tamales and patting them. Also, of course, in Mexico, too. But there's something about that makes me so happy. I don't know what it is, just watching the process of that.
Nixtamal is both the process preparing masa, and it is the masa itself.
Mm.
And so it's using the hominy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's a process that's often shown on murals, which is what this came out of, going to our favorite Mexican restaurant and asking my husband and the waitress, what is she doing in the mural? What is actually happening here? What's this process?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so watching anyone's grandmother making something from scratch is this experience as well. In fact, the golden powder on her arms, that's my Italian grandmother, right? She's used to make pasta.
Right.
And she'd use all this flour, and when you'd bump into her in the kitchen, she just, psh, like flour.
That's
just,
my Romanian grandmother,
right?
Too.
And it was just, so our grandmothers made things from scratch, and that's kind of where that image came from.
And, you know, it's interesting because I've read it. I love how you bring together the elements of story, but it's also very lyrical, you know, beautiful word choices. It's really well honed. Like the element, you know, it has the ingredients that make it complete. And that was a question. I wonder if she really saw this or if she wrote it. But I didn't care, you know, because
right.
it was so real to me and so well written. And I wanted to ask you, as a longtime workshop leader in the San Gabriel Valley, how do you know when a poem is on the page? You know, like when it really feels complete.
Oh, Lois.
I know, that's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question.
But maybe there's some hints of that.
Well, over the years, I trust myself more. And I do a process of, I wait twice, which is a process from the Quakers. It's a Quaker process. The Quakers question, and then they wait. And wait into the question. So there's a process of waiting twice where you ask a question and then you think you have the answer, but if you wait a moment longer, you find more. And so in my poems or when I write, I do that. And I've done it so often that it's part of my strategy or my part of my process. So I can go in and I trust that the poem is in me. I just want to find the words and the details. So I'm a story listener as well as a storyteller. And when I listen to the stories that my students tell who are adults in the ESL program, I try to put myself in their position and in their shoes. And I wait and I listen. And then if I wait a little longer, they'll tell me something else, something even deeper, you know, once they have found the words. So the process is an interior one and an exterior one where I'm listening and I'm also listening inside myself. Robert Pinsky, I took a workshop with him. And he said something about a bag of diction. He said, if you want to write a poem, you find, I want to write about this. And then just all around that idea, find all the words that come to mind and maybe other ones that you actually look for. And then as you begin to write.
You mean like a list?
Almost like a list.
Okay.
He sort of made it look like a big brainstorming map on the board or in a piece of paper, and then trust yourself to write and find those words and place those words into place as you're moving along to tell your story.
That's great.
One of the ways this book came to be was I asked a question of a friend who was a shaman, and he wanted to work with someone. So my question to him was, what should I write about? We took about 12 weeks of meeting, and he just kept saying, you need to write about people. So you're a people person. You have all these anecdotes. You have the way the stories tie together. I mean, I've learned about history from all the various people who've come in and from the same generation or different generations of the same events. And so these are all portrait poems and persona poems.
If you're just tuning in, this is host Lois P. Jones, and we're with our guest, Mary Torregrosa, and she's talking about the beautiful Zocalo of the book, My Zocalo Heart, on Finishing Line Press, and all of the elements that are kind of drawn together to bring this, as you say, portraiture. And there are also aspects of you that like to collage, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Because my interest in Toti, she's a collage artist, and so I like to follow her work as an artist.
There's also a sense of collage and a collection, I suppose, too, right? Because we're collaging things and we're going, how does this poem talk to that poem? And but at some point, you knew what belonged in and didn't.
Yes, right. I also read my poems out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to the sonics of how the line moves. And I look at all the end lines.
Yes.
The end words. And make sure that they have a key. They're a key to the poem.
Mm.
And so I'm very careful how I craft.
Yeah.
One of my poems talks about my surgical precision. And that can drive some people nuts, you know. They'll say, oh, it's this the voice of this flows so well. Why would you want to worry about whether there's an S or no S? But actually, I do. I tell the story, and then I craft the piece. And so it's a mix. Yeah, it's really amazing how you just honed right into that idea of narrative storytelling, and then the lyrical aspect. Like, that's really cool, Lois.
Oh.
I mean, that's exactly what happens here. It's
yes.
part of what I'm doing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And of course.
Yeah, right.
You love poetry.
I do. And the sonic aspect is very important in a poem. And an S next to another S makes a difference, right? Mm. There's another poem I'd love to hear from you, Father on the Staircase.
Father on the Staircase for Salvatore Torregrossa. From the Line by Allen Ginsberg, You Never Sang Your Misery. You stare into the camera lens. Your eyes are holes. Your smile barely there. Coerced to sit on the bottom steps of the staircase in the hallway in the old house on Roanoke Street. So many photographs of us standing there throughout the years without you. On this day, we children all around you strike a pose like points on a compass. On this day, love could not heal whatever brought you to exhaustion. If you had asked me then, I would have said it was the pinched and ropey scars on your shoulder where bullets hit their mark on the beach in Normandy. D-Day plus four, Mother would say. You look to her. She fills your eyes with light, as beautiful as pink peonies that flourished underneath the backyard cypress trees. At her command, we smile. Lift our arms above our heads, like rainbows, like angels, embracing air.
Hmm. Your mother, Angela, was the one who opened poetry up for you. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Many people of her generation loved to recite.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a lot of poems by memory she had learned in elementary school. And the years that she went to high school, though, she didn't finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first person in my family to finish high school.
Wow. Well yeah. done. So, Mary, we're closing the show now, and I'd love if you could take us out with In the Canyon of Beauty and Lament.
In the Canyon of Beauty and Lament, for poet Denise Chavez. Red cliffs never smile. The air is rarely still, even on the calmest days. At night, the cottonwood leaves wave frantically. Here, I do not deeply sleep. Here, the spirits move in fragile gales. An ebony horse flies across the indigo bridge of sky. All the birds and beetles hide. At sunrise, the tops of pine needles warble. I envy them their song.
Mary, thank you for coming today. And I could talk to you for hours.
Oh, you could talk to a lot of people. Everybody who gets on this mic, you carry on such wonderful conversations. Thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for having me.
Sure. This is host Lois P. Jones, and our guest has been Mary Torregrossa. Thanks to our producer, Marlena Bond. Look for us on the Poets Cafe fan page on Facebook. You've been listening to Poets Cafe on Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California and beyond.